8 minutes after 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is Tuesday morning, and inshallah Aziz, in our program today we are going to look at firstly tech news. We're going to look at different issues concerning technology, and thereafter we then go ahead to speak to Mawlana Yahya Bam. About personal reformation and improvement of our personal selves, inshallah Aziz. That's the program lineup for today. Coming to the tech news aspect of our program, you know, there's different issues of technology, and technology is improving inventions all of the time, and we basically have to make sure that we are up to date and we know what is happening in the tech world. That is the important thing, that we know what is happening in the tech world and we are up to date with what is taking place, so that we can also you know, control or at least have an insight into our environment and have an insight into what is happening around the world. Nevertheless, we've heard of the Volkswagen scandal. Now they are set to recall all vehicles associated with the emissions rigging debacle. The diesel cars at the heart of a global scandal will be fixed by the end of 2016, according to VW's new CEO, Matthias Müller. The company has set aside £4.8 million to cover the costs of the recall. If everything goes as planned, we can start the recall in January. Müller, who was appointed CEO at the height of the scandal, told the newspaper all the cars should be in order by the end of 2016. Of those cars, as many as 1.18 million vehicles in the UK, 8 million in Europe, that's 393,450 Audis, 76,000 in some Seats, 131,000 in some Skodas, 508,000 in some VW cars, and 79,000 in some Volkswagen commercial vehicles. So that's a lot of vehicles that they have to repair, and they have to make sure that they correct, and it is not a mistake, it is an intentional misleading of the public that they undertook. What they did was, in most cases, a software update will fix vehicles, but some will need new injectors and catalyzers, according to Müller. Volkswagen is likely to set up a temporary workshop dedicated to fixing the faults. And according to the CEO, he said, we made a mistake, we must answer for that, but bear in mind that there were no dead with us, our cars were and are safe. And in the US alone, the maximum fine could be about £11.7 billion, and you know, that is a lot of money that they have to raise there. And this is just because of basic deceit and basic greediness as a company of trying to get what is not deserved by them. And this is a reality. It's a reality in many, many different parts of the world. And really, really, we need to be careful about that. And it teaches us about ethical business practice, that when you cheat, whatever way you think you can cheat, whatever way you think you are getting away with cheating, at the end of the day, it's going to come back to bite you. At the end of the day, you are going to be answerable for what you have done. You're going to be answerable for your cheating, and you're going to be answerable, and you will have to repay and make sure that you are going to be caught with that cheating. That is the main issue that you need to realize, and especially in business practice, that is the truth, that is the reality, and it is better to be honest and straightforward. And there's barakah, there's blessings, and there's goodness in your business. There's no answerability later on for it. When you start cheating, when you start doing chori in your business, when you start working in a way that is taking away from others, then you're going to reach some problem issues there. Well, then another story that comes out of the tech news section, we find the story here. The story is, sorry about that, Boeing says its metal micro lattice is the lightest metal ever. Now, Boeing has discovered and they have invented a metal, say the new metal with walls 1,000 times thinner than a human hair, a robot that may someday become a handy helper for ISS astronauts and biodegradable water bottle that you can eat. And Boeing has created an ultra-light metal micro-lattice material. It's metal, it's something that they can use to build aeroplanes, but it's absolutely light. And they may use this for aeroplanes in the future. And that's very interesting there. And water bottle, the weirdest water bottle we've ever seen. In some general way, liquid food specific spherification works in molecular gastronomy. And this water bottle allows humans to get water like a gigantic drop of dew. And this is an interesting invention as well there. And then a new bicycle that has been it's a normal looking bicycle, but the next generation of road bike, and a very beautiful type of Cannondale bicycle that has been made up there. Then come to South African tech news, you have MTN, and they have improved their data deals that now they improve the expiry date for data bundles, and this has received support. And they want to get up to date with what is happening with the teams and what is the demands of the public. And so they have improved their data packages there. That would be welcome news for MTN subscribers. And then you have the entry window closing for SA Tech Awards. It's just 3 days left to enter the 10th annual GovTech Awards, which will be held at the Durban Convention Center. The awards aim to recognize innovation in information and in communications technologies and are divided into two categories. When we select our winners, we shall be looking at the innovative contributions, the impact on our citizens and society in general, and any public service transformation, said Dr. Setumo Mohabe. Entries close on Wednesday, 15th October, and they will also highlight aspects such as leadership excellence in IT operations and transformation of the business of government through effective technology use. So that is technology awards that are coming to South Africa in 2 days' time. That's the cutoff date for those tech awards. And Apple Watch, many people using Apple devices. And Apple Watch prices have been revealed in South Africa. They range from 5899 to 6799. That is the Sport, and then the Apple Watch itself, 9299 up to 18,499 rands. I can't believe that price for a watch, for a digital watch, which would probably be mundane. It will be useless in 2 years' time, or maybe 3 years' time maximum, because of software and improvements and new model, etc. 18,499 rand. Can you imagine the price then? That is mostly due to the rand dollar price increase. And do we really need that type of technology that's going to what we could say cost us an arm and a leg? You won't have an arm to wear the watch on. That's the main problem that you're going to face with buying an Apple Watch. And so we need to be careful what our priorities are in life. And yes, there's always a call and always an issue of wanting to live longer and different inventions. The reality that you need to all understand is that we are definitely dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses when we are brought into this world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses when we will return from this world to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what we need to understand. Well, it's 18 minutes after 11. You're listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. We'll be back after this break.
Mom, I'm hungry.
The food is not done yet, my love, but I have a killer fragrant rice in the meantime.
Wow, Mom, this rice is so soft, fluffy, and smells lovely.
Yes, my child, this is the purest fragrant rice that you'll ever find and will certainly satisfy any hungry belly.
Mmm, thank you, Mommy, for buying a killer fragrant rice.
For more info on Akila Fragrant Rice, call Flavor Foods on 011-493-2397.
Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. We went through a few of the tech issues and tech stories that we picked up from around the world. Interesting news that comes in and interesting for us to make sure that, you know, we love our technology, we love our devices, but also we need to maintain our fair distance from our devices. We cannot just allow these devices to control us, control our lives, and control who we are, because it's very, very easy for us to become so engrossed and so involved in these devices that we don't know what is happening around us. We lose our connection and our link to the very
people who are the closest to us, and we lose our link to what is happening with the rest of the world. Also, learning is affected, studying is affected, improving character is affected, everything is affected sometimes because of the tech and the technology that we have in our lives. It is something to supposed to make it easier for us, but in actual fact, we really fall into the trap of technology, and we need to really appreciate our family members. And a nice exercise would be that you have a family get-together, a family gathering, but you have it at a place where there is absolutely no cell phone signal available. And obviously you need to mention it, and to inform everybody that, listen, you're coming to this place, but there is going to be no cell phone signal available at all. But the whole objective of this get-together and gathering is to make sure that we bond and we grow as a family. And so, by having a gathering like this, you will find immediately that the young ones and the people who are involved in the gadgets just tend to leave the gadgets one side, don't get involved in that at all, and focus on conversation, focus on team building, focus on making things better as a family. And alhamdulillah, it really pays off at the end, and really becomes an interesting gathering, and it becomes a refreshing gathering when you build up links like this. And we see it happening at weddings, at other family functions and gatherings, and at visiting time as well, that you would visit or you would be together, but you wouldn't actually be together. And the reason why that happens is because you fall into the trap of being distracted by your gadgets, by your computers, by your laptops, by your phones. And you tend to lose the plot, you tend to lose who you are, and you forget that this is supposed to be a gathering of getting together, but in actual fact it did not serve the purpose that we wanted it to serve. So this is an important part of controlling and managing our addiction and our involvement in technology. It's now gone 25 minutes after 11. Coming up after the break, we'll be speaking to Mulana Yahya Bam. Stay tuned.
Yo ya no quiero, gracias.
Eu gostava de dizer para mim, este aqui é um bom jogador.
Está bem, me rindo.
No matter where you come from or what language you speak, Beres Motor Spares is the place to go. We stock motor spares and car accessories of high standards at an impressive price. Years of experience in the motor spares industry ensures that you get the best advice. Beres Motor Spares, 48 Peter 8th Avenue, Alberton North.
Call us on 011-901-3100. Attention all traders, supermarkets and spazas. Visit Devlin Cash & Carry for all your deep cut specials on all listed groceries. Distributors of the widest range of household detergents and perishable goods. Open 7 days a week. Devlin Cash & Carry. Call 011-989-8800. Corner Klepkas and Person Road, Devlin.
بصحبتي وأبي له حق فما أغلاك لرضاكم الرحمن أقرن بالرضا رضوانه سبحان من أعطاك ولك الثلاثة بالأحق بصحبتي وأبي له حق فما أغلاك لرضاكم الرحمن أقرن بالرضا
When the sun rises, it rises for everyone. Join Molana Junaid Jassat on Al Mashrif, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. Live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Molana Yahya Bam, Molana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Khamisa.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. And a very warm welcome to my guest this morning, Hazrat Maulana Yahya Bam Sahib. Maulana Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you keeping this morning, Maulana?
Shukr, Khudai Pak. Very well, Maulana. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Allah, shukr.
Shukr.
Maulana, I must say Mubarak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant barakah to your daughter whose nikah was performed last week. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant barakah in the nikah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite them in all goodness.
Ameen, ameen, alhamdulillah. Maulana, we must touch on that a very little while so that people can understand what the main discussions were when I did the nikah the way I did it. Nikah being an ibadat, and although people do have the weddings and nikahs where it is in a hall and they invite the people and very well good foods are served, it's a matter of better and best, Maulana, not a matter of halal and haram. One is the way I did it, it's the best way. Although the other ways is also, is a better thing to do to get our children married, whether it be we're going to have the bookings through halls and we're going to the foods or not. But that is a good way, but there is a better way wherein there is the least expenses. Because we see in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way he got Sayyidina Fatima married, and then we go into the life of Sahaba thereafter, and even those pious predecessors of ours, how and what were the ways they implemented. Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, with regards to when his daughter got married or when he accepted to go to perform the nikahs, his condition would be that it be a marriage wherein the least expenses are put in, Maulana.
That is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and definitely we pray and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants barakah and blessings when we bring into practice the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is the simple way of doing things. That is the important thing. The simple, least fussy, least complicated method of doing things. This is what was desired by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only in nikah, but in every aspect of his life. And it was the life of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, you know, describing them, it would be said, أَقَلُّ النَّاسِ تَكَلُّفًا. They had the least complications and fuss and issues about them. They were very simple in the way that they carried themselves.
Correct, Maulana. And with regards to the nikahs wherein we have these bigger expenses, and I equated this expense on the side of the girl to the expense that happens in the Indo-Pak region where they call it the jehez or the dehez. In some areas they call it the jehez, other areas they call it the dehez. It's an amount that is given by the girl's family. Not the Islamic way wherein the boy gives the girl mehr. It is an amount that is demanded from the girl's family to get their daughter married to the boy. And in our terms, it will be like they will demand a house, they will demand a nice, luxurious car, and these type of things from the girl. The result being that this jihad and dehez is so much ingrained in the lives and the culture of the Indo-Pak region, that there are how many girls that will not get married, how many there are that will drop themselves in the well, etc., because they have brought expense onto their father and onto their homes. The land that they earn, where from is the income, they have to sell that land to get money so that they can get the daughter married. And really, Maulana, if you get your second or third daughter, the scene of Wa'idul Ma'udha to Su'ilat, Bi'i Dhambin Qutilat, becomes alive in those homes. And that is why Hazrat Wala insisted that no, and this is the teaching of our Kabirin and the Awliya, no, do not get, do not give this mehr and jihad. No, sorry, Mahal. The mehr will be taken from the boy. The jihad from the girl's side to the boy. Take it away, cut it out. And there are ulama that have written this tradition, this practice, to be a haram practice. And we have something in equivalence, Maulana. We don't give the boy, the party of the boy, a car and a house, but the expense that comes onto the daughter, onto the girl's family, that is something that is questionable. To such an extent that at times there are fathers that will go, and it happened to a friend of mine, when he came to me and his first daughter was getting married, at that time Allah had given him well, and he performed a nice nikah, and he invited a good amount of people. And then when the second daughter's turn came, then at that time, due to circumstances and halat, he could not put a bigger sort of a scene out. So he went to his mother and he told his mother that, Ma, we are not going to do for our second daughter what we could do for our first one. So the mother actually uses the Gujarati terminology, ek akma pani ne ek akma loi. In one eye you have blood, in one eye you have water. That means you're not doing equal for the two daughters. And eventually the thing dragged. The fellow had to go and get a loan from the bank, and he gave food in that marriage. We had taken the loan and he's going to pay the interest and everything that follows it, but he had to do what was the tradition of the people. Maulana, this is the harms that come on. One person has, his brother doesn't have. The brother's daughter is getting married. He can give a big party. This person cannot. So what, does he love his daughter less? No. If we create such an environment of spending of that amount, then the love is going to be in the way that you give that wedding and marriage and the amount of people you call. We need to cut down on this. We need to make it lesser, Maulana.
This is an issue that has been communicated and advised and warned by the ulama for many, many years, but we find that there is little heed that is paid to this, and there are few people, alhamdulillah, who have taken the advice and have kept their nikahs and their families' nikahs and weddings simple, but there are many people who have become even more and more extravagant in this regard.
And the extravagance is sort of having no end now, Maulana. And it is thought of as a religious duty that they are doing for the daughter in having a huge extravagant get-together for the people. And then the amount of foods that they spend, amount of money, amount of waste, These are questions that we need to ask. Well, there was one person, again we talk of examples that are written from the villages of India. This zamindar, owner of huge lands, he thought, and Nawab that he was, he thought that I am going to give a marriage unlike the marriage of the rest of the people. The people of the village, they give good foods, some do this, some do the other. Let me now put an end to it. Let me now take a huge piece of land. He did not grow for that few months what had to be grown. He flattened that land, put up tents, and invited the whole village with the best of foods that were to be prepared in every way, different types of food, and he had a big scene, big do. And when the people came, he thought, wait a minute, not only is it the food and whatever is given, let me give each one guinea, it's a gold coin of the olden days. He gave each person that came one guinea. Now the best of food, the best of drinks, the biggest of do that could ever be done in this area, and to top it all, a guinea for each. And as the people were walking back from the marriage place, from these tents, back to the village, in between somewhere, the Nawab placed himself so that he could hear what the people were saying, what good words they would say. Some would praise the food, some would praise the dishes, some would praise what else, what not. And in this way he was expecting a lot of such words to be said as they walk along. And when the first group of people came nearer, and the first thing he heard was one person telling the other, what a conjuiced Nawab. He only gave us one guinea. He could have given us two. That means all that food and things gone. They found one reason to find fault. That is the fault that they carried. This is what you're going to get if you want the praise from the people. Malana, better is to turn to Allah and try to do that which Allah and His Rasul has taught us. Inshallah, Allah and His Rasul will only favor us, Mawlana.
Subhanallah. And this is the nature of men, that no matter how much you go out making the intention to please people, there will always be some who are going to complain about what you do for them. And we, in our nikah, like all other practices, it is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that nikah in itself can be an ibadah if we do it according to the sunnah method.
Bishak, and that is by trying to make as least expense as we can. And if we're going to have, Malala, there are how many such young girls, when they come to us, talk to us with regards to the personal matters wherein they need guidance and help, there would be those that would tell us, but why aren't you getting married? When you're seeing the boy, when you're already in contact with the boy, you're already phoning and speaking to the boy, and why aren't you just allowing the nikah to happen? Why this long period of time? And they will actually tell you that the girl, in one case, the girl tells me that I'm working, I'm saving all my money so that we can have a nice big showdown and a big wedding, so that which my mother and father want to do, and I'm working to save for that. Instead of taking that money, if you haven't got that much, why not put it in the house of the couple after they're going to get together? Why is it that this for the day? And one is what the family is going to put together. And then the other families that are going to travel, long distances they can travel, each one is going to have a new set of clothes, or the better set of clothes. And in this way, extravagance in all different directions. What a lot of money. Any case, we're not going to rule anything as haram, or we're not going to say that it should not be, but try to cut down. Let it become a little less. Let it not be that we continue taking this extravagance to the levels where we are going to feel our tripping ourselves into the difficulties of time, Maulana.
That is the whole crux of the matter, Maulana. We need to be self-restrained. And Maulana, what is the psychology behind it? You know, besides showing off, you know, many people say that sometimes the men of the family want to have a simple affair, but it is the mothers and the daughters who put pressure on the husbands. Is it always the case, or is that possibly sometimes the case?
It is sometimes the case, although quite often, but it is not always. There are those women also that have realized, and in some cases then the women will actually tell the men, do we need to go through this? Because if you go through this, then one is, yeah, what the man is going to pay through the check into the account of the person that lays out the halls and serves the food. But the ladies in the home, the amount of difficulty, amount of pressure, and in the amount of matters they need to attend to, is one in itself that becomes a difficult. In any case, we need to, Maulana, now start looking at and coming closer to the Sunnah. I mean, we see in the times of Sahaba how simple the nikahs were. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one Sahabi who is from amongst the people that are close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees him the next day in that he had on his clothes oil or whatever type of matters they would put on, apply to for a better occasion. And the Rasul asked, what has happened? What is the occasion? And he says that my nikah was made. Now, I mean, the Nabi of Allah is amongst the people, but nikah is so simple. Nikah is something that is not chains tied. Zina is going to become common, and today we see the zina is becoming common because the father now says that, right, this is our girl and boy that are now going to get married. We confirm it, we put on the ring, and they call it the engagement. And after the engagement, until the nikah, that 4 or 5 months or year and a half, the two wait in that waiting period after the engagement, where one another have been given house permission and they're getting together for a good reason. We're getting together so that we can talk about the house we want to buy, where we want to go and stay. But all these meetings and all this communication is, according to Islam, in the category of haram. Now, if you're going to do haram before you're staying together, and then the nikah is performed on this weak foundation of haram being taking place, what are we going to get out from that wedding, Maulana?
There's nothing that's no benefit out of it, because the whole thing is based on haram.
And where then we will say, and there will be people that will say that the nikah took place, the wedding presents have not been opened yet, and it's a talaq.
Allah Akbar.
So we need to now go and try to have the simplicity in our weddings. Inshallah, it will bring about barakah and will bring about a difference, Maulana.
Yes, definitely. When you adopt the Sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah, Allah ta'ala puts khair in whatever you do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you goodness.
And the incidences that are written in the kitabs, how in the time of Sahaba, if we just take one amongst them, let me just pick up one amongst them, it is written that two Sahaba, the one wants to get married to a girl of a certain family. So they now going to take that talk, that word to that family. So the two friends, the one that wants to get married, he waits outside and he sends his friend in that, go and ask the people of this family that we want to come in to create this discussion with regards to my nikah to their daughter. So the friend goes in. When he goes in, inside, when he speaks to them, they inform him that with regards to your friend, we've got no intention. But with regards to you, yes, we want, we have desire, and we want our daughter to marry you. And eventually the talk develops to such a level that the nikah is performed while the friend waits outside. And now this friend has to go and inform him, and this is how simple and how gracefully they took life. When he goes there, he tells him that with regards to you, it was a no, but they wanted me to do the nikah, and I did the nikah, and I got married to that girl, and the two friends walk away together. Takdir had it that way, let it be that way. That is how simple it was. The person to perform the nikah, and the person to be the shuhada for the nikah, were present, the nikah took place. Although this was an incident in its own right, written this way, but it needs to be taking place in the masjid, or in front of people, let the elan be made, so that people know, so that zina doesn't become common, but let it be as simple as simplicity can be, Mulana.
Yes, this is, nikah in itself is a very simple ceremony, and you know, just on one occasion there was a nikah of a new Muslim at our masjid, and I explained to them that nikah is a very simple, straightforward ceremony. There is nothing fancy about it, and it doesn't require all the other additions which we normally associate with the nikah, and it gives us great barakah and blessing when we do this nikah in the sunnah and simple method. And it is a great invitation to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well.
Definitely. And these, for example, one is nikah in the simple way. And then the very same applies to when we bury our mayyit also. That there isn't the keeping of the body for a few weeks in the mortuaries, and then the buying of the expensive casket, and then putting the, when calling the people together and feeding them and making a big scene about the burial of the person. Like the difference there is in our mayyit and their mayyit, the very same difference is supposed to be in our marriages and in their marriages, Malala.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's supposed to be the difference, and we have to maintain that the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is why what's the challenge and what is the concern, Malala, is that if you attend leaving the nikah in the masjid aside, if you go to the hall and you enter the hall, can you make out the difference whether this is a Muslim marriage or not?
Allahu Akbar. Marana, let us look at one more angle. Now we're coming into the beginning of the month of Muharram. On the 10th of Muharram, long before, 40 years before the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein in Karbala, right here in Medina, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated, and when he saw the people of the area fasting as a result of what had happened to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I also desire to fast, but make a difference in our ibadat. Our ibadat, the keeping of the roza, and their ibadat will be different. They keep one, we will keep two. 9th and 10th, or 10th and 11th. Now, again, when in ibadat, we need to be different to the people that are not from the congregation of the Muslims, then what will it be with regards to all other matters? That is how this nikah also needs a difference, Mulana.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is definitely true. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned Khaliful Yahuda wa Nasara, that you go and contradict and go against the practices of the Jews and Christians, and nikah is definitely included in that.
Definitely. So, Mawlana, we need to bring about the simplicity bring about the difference. There are people that are doing wrong, irrational statements about Islam and deen. There are some people that are giving rulings and fatwas, kill the kuffar. That is not the rulings of Islam. The Islam is salam, peace. And peace is the message that we're taking out. And if we come back to the deen of Islam in the beauty and the peace that it teaches, and these are the teachings of Islam, people will see the beauty and they will start coming towards Islam. We are taking things and matters and points out of proportion and giving a wrong portrayal of the deen, and that is why it is being misunderstood today in the world, Maulana.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is the difficulty and challenge that we have. And believers, this, you know, one important thing is that we need to understand that while we consider it the one occasion of our life, or we say once in a lifetime, this is a very often mentioned statement, that once in a lifetime, always saying that no, that she's only getting married once, but in this occasion, even if it is once in a lifetime, make it once in a lifetime according to the sunnah.
Subhanallah.
And that will be perhaps your one opportunity or one means of entry into Jannah.
Allah make it so, Malana. We make dua that Allah make it so. In those marriages, there are people that have the capacity and that had the availability of making a big do and a big wedding. But when they were presented with the correct approach, they accepted that, and Allah Ta'ala make it that there is only goodness in their marriages, in their homes, because they took on this one sunnah practice. Allah opened the doors to so many more sunnah practices, Marana.
Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and understanding, Marana. Jazakallah khairan for your time. Perhaps you could just round up the discussion.
Jazakallah, Maulana. Maulana, with regards to anything that we are doing, either it's going to be in accordance to the way Allah and His Rasul wants us, or it's going to take us away from the way of Allah and His Rasul. Therefore, like you said, if it is going to be once in a lifetime, like this marriage, why not do it once in a lifetime the correct way? Because you're not going to marry every now and then. So it is best that we do this marriage according to the sunnah, and that be in every other action of ours. Maulana, with all the gunas and all the sins, all the evil sticked against us, Allah, look at these one or two amal of ours wherein we are trying to submit to the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In doing that, Ya Allah, we are trying to please you. Mawla, accept our these amal and bring us closer to you. Jazakallah, Mawlana.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan, Mawlana. Inshallah, we will speak next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh.
Shukran to Mawlana Yahya Bamsab. Shukran to my studio operator, Brother Osama. This morning, and to you for listening from Junaid Jasad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.